So that is the word in season today for whatever reason, whether it be this body or this be for you, I believe that God has that word. So we're going to look at what a stronghold is, because I realize the church oftentimes does not, we use words, right? But what do we understand what they mean? And so I want to begin with the passage that talks about what a stronghold is. So if you guys can keep up with me, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Actually, I may just have you guys do that. If you can bring it up, then I'll read. I'll read from the screen. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, how many know we're in the world? We do not wage war as the world does. How many know that means that the world is physical, but we're in a spiritual war, and therefore we have spiritual weapons? This is what Cheryl referred to by Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. That's our spiritual weaponry. It's our armor and our weapons. The weapons, therefore, we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to do what? Demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension. Now that ought to give you a clue of what a stronghold is. It's an argument and a pretension. It's an idea that sets itself up against something other than what God says. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against what? The knowledge of God. And listen to this. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So a stronghold is, as the book that Kyle was reading from, the author's name is Francis Frangipane. He's defined a stronghold as this. It's a house made of thoughts. How I oftentimes will define a stronghold is, it is a fortress that it's been erected in your mind. It's not just one thought. It's a system of thinking. It's a belief system that's formed, but the system that's been formed is based on a lie. It's not based on the truth. And so because of it, what happens is it forms in your mind, it becomes like a fortress, a stronghold, that's the term, like a wall around a system of thinking. And what that wall does is it holds that which is deceptive and is a lie and traps it in the mind, and it seeks to keep that which is the truth out of your mind. Does that make sense? Now, how are walls formed? How are these strongholds formed? Various ways. But I will tell you this, I believe, and I have come to learn this over the years, it's because of the schemes of the enemy. Okay? Paul writes to the church, and I don't have the scripture verse off the top of my head, but he says, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. The schemes of the enemy are designed to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you have to remember that these schemes, where the battle is being fought, it's being fought in the mind. Okay? So in the mind is where the enemy sows thoughts. How many of you have had seemingly out of nowhere negative thoughts come flooding your mind? Now what happens is the enemy tries to take advantage of us. He is an opportunist, not a fair opportunist, a destructive opportunist. And so what he does is that he waits for opportunities to sow these lies into your mind called schemes. So these can be occasions when we're young and we've been wounded. It can be in various kinds of situations. You can be a young child. Your family could be going through a divorce. And in the midst of that divorce, how many children have ever thought, when their parents are going through a divorce, this is my fault? I did something to make this happen. Is that the truth? It is not. But is it very difficult at times because of the hurt that the child's feeling to convince that child otherwise that it's not their fault somehow? It becomes very difficult, doesn't it? Or let's say a child's been abandoned, or let's say in school, they're one of the kids that gets left out. You know, it's time to choose up teams, sides for some event, and inevitably the child is the one that feels like they always get picked last, and the kids pick on them or look down on them. All of these kinds of situations. So whenever there are moments, listen, of pain, conflict, rejection, fear, whenever there are circumstances that create those kinds of emotions, that is when the satanic opportunist, the demonic horde, comes in and seeks to sow lies towards that child. And the problem is that child does not have the ability to discern whether that's true or not true. All they know as a child is what they feel. Now listen, your soul, how many know what the soul is? The soul is made up of the mind, emotions, and will. Your mind is where the enemy will sow a thought in the midst of a difficult situation. But a child doesn't know how to tell whether that message that comes into their mind is true or false. All they know is how what they're thinking in the midst of their painful situation makes them feel. And I don't know about you, but if I'm in a painful situation, one of the first things and one of the primary things that I'm thinking about is how do I get out away from this pain? And so what begins to happen is a child will begin to try to run away, will try to figure out a way to get away from the pain. And we can develop all kinds of behavioral things that try to get us away. We can try to escape it. We can try to deny that it's really there. We can try to keep working hard and convince ourselves that if we're a good person, if I'll just be better, the pain will finally go away. All kinds of behavioral patterns. But what happens is that when those thoughts come into our minds as children and we feel something, that's what seems true to us. But the problem is, if what we feel is based on a lie and not based on the truth about what God says about us, then is what they're feeling true? It's not, is it? So here's what you need to understand with strongholds. Strongholds are a system of thoughts in the mind. But anytime you accept something in your mind, or even think it, and emotions are a result of it, I want you to understand what emotions are. Emotions just simply reflect what it is you're believing. Okay? This is why you cannot always trust your emotions. Because if your emotions are the result of what you're thinking, and what you're thinking or believing is not what God's word says about you, but it's some lie that the enemy has sown into your mind, then what you're going to feel is going to be false. And if you act on what you feel that isn't true, then what you do will take you down a further road of despair and destruction. It will not help you get truly free from that which is trying to destroy you. Does this make sense? So, what we have to do is we have to understand that all of our thoughts, this is just what this passage says, you have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, a child doesn't always know how to do that. And so this is what happens. You grow up, and a child has begun to accept certain lies early in life. And they've not really known how to deal with them. And then what happens is that another painful scenario comes. Well, what happens is the enemy, have you heard of what the Bible, the King James uses the term familiar spirits? There are spiritual forces, believe it or not, that are assigned to you and your family that know the wounded experiences that have occurred in your family. And so what happens is after the enemy, through a scheme, sows certain lies into a person's mind after they have experienced a hurt, and that person has accepted the lie, well, then the enemy is just very patient to wait for the next wound that comes. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to sow that same lie into their mind again. And the problem is now, well, this is the same thing I thought when I had this situation. And so if they do not understand how to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ and use the weapons of our warfare to demolish that lie and to take authority over the enemy, which, by the way, you have as a child of God, then what begins to happen is it begins to reinforce the lie. And then over a lifetime, not only do you have the outward attack of the enemy sowing thoughts into your mind, but a stronghold of that thought gets erected in your mind, and you begin to live life as that as being a part of the way you see life. Is it you starting to get the picture? So therefore, the stronghold is something that is erected in the mind that a person walks around with. But listen, here is the key that we have to remember. It's exactly what that passage says. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's two things going on there. The first part is, we demolish the arguments. That's just another way to say stronghold. We demolish the arguments and pretension with the Word of God. Now, interestingly enough, does this not fit what we talked about last week, about we needing to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, because it is the truth. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? And so the Word of God is the way we demolish a stronghold. And it is through the authority of God that He's given us in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, that when the enemy comes to sow thoughts back into your mind, you take them captive. So let's look at this as far as a wall, a fortress again. Okay? Demolishing it is taking your spiritual weaponry, and in this case, I call it a battering ram, and you start hammering that old lie with the Word of God. Now, how are you going to do that if you don't know the Word of God? See, so this is what the Lord wants us to see. Here's an application. When we talk about what we did last week about spending time with God, spending time in His Word, it's not just so we do devotions, so we get our little religious practice in so that we make God happy. It's equipping yourself with the truth that has the power to set you free. And that's why we need to spend time with God. And so we take the Word of God about what... Do you know what God's Word says about you? There's people in this room this morning that do not trust that God loves them. Now, they'll tell you with their mouth, but in their heart, you don't really believe. I'm not saying that's everybody, but usually in a group of people, there's at least a few that really don't trust that God loves them. Do you know what God's word says about his love for you? So what is the truth? And what's the lie? Do you see where this is? If you don't believe, if it's like some reason you can't believe, see, because belief happens in your heart. I struggled with this for years. I could go around as a young Christian telling people how much God loved them, but in my heart, I could not believe that God really loved me. I had a stronghold. When God showed me this truth, I begin to take his word about what God's word says about his love for me, and I begin to start ramming that stronghold. And I'm telling you, my feelings didn't automatically change. Because if you're talking about like a wall that was around one of the ancient cities, some of these were several feet thick. An army didn't just walk up to the wall and go poof once and oh, no problem, down it comes. Unless you were Jericho, of course. And you know what? I believe God can even give us some Jericho moments in our minds. Amen? But typically, it's going to require taking God's word, because how many know that wall didn't get built overnight? And it typically isn't going to come back down overnight. And so you're going to have to take the word of God, and you're going to have to stand on the word of God. It doesn't matter what you feel, because again, what you feel is going to be based upon your system of thinking. So by your will is going to have to bypass your emotions, and it's going to say, oh, mind of mine, you are going to start believing what God's word says about you, not what the enemy has said about you all these years. And so you begin to take the word of God and you begin to ram it. And so here it is. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8. Amen. Not height, not depth, not angels, not demons, not the past, not the future, not anything in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, height nor depth, none of that can separate us from the love of God. Now, I may not be getting every single word right there, but I can tell you I have that word hidden in my heart. Amen? And whenever the enemy tries to come, when I fail, and Lord knows, as a pastor, I fail. I don't like it when I fail. It frustrates me when I don't do things right. I don't try to do it, but let's be honest, we don't always do it all right, do we? But I'm going to tell you one area that the enemy is not going to dupe me on is that because I fail, that means God doesn't love me. He can't touch this anymore. Because I've demolished that stronghold. Amen? It's no longer there. It's not a fortress in this man's mind any longer. You have no idea the battle I went through to get there, though. But I want to give you hope today. If you will take what God's word says and you will have a fighting heart inside of you that says, I will not accept anything but what God's word says about me, and you will fight and you will fight and you will fight, there will come a day where you no longer will struggle with that lie because your mind has been transformed. Now go to Romans 12 chapter verses 1 and 2 if you would, guys. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, do not offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, how did I know where this verse was? Because I hid it in my heart, right? Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Here's where it really begins. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's how you demolish a stronghold, is you begin to renew. How many think if you've got an old system of thinking, it needs to be renewed with a new system of thinking? Amen? And when you get a new system of thinking and you demolish the old way of thinking, then guess what? You become conformed no longer to the pattern of this world's system of thinking, but to the thinking of God, because you've taken captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's how we get victorious as believers in Christ. That's how we overcome. This is why the Word of God is so critical. This is why it is so important that you know. Now, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 that Cheryl referred to. We're going to begin, let's see here. Let's begin at verse 10. Now, you don't have to understand that every piece of the armor of God is related to putting on Christ. Okay? And putting on Christ is related to what God's Word says about Christ, related to these different areas that He has covered in your life. So verse 10, let's begin there. Finally, notice this, it says, be strong in the Lord. How many think if you're going to fight this battle of tearing down strongholds and taking authority over the enemy, this is not just going to be a little willy-nilly walk through the park. It's going to be a battle. So we're going to need some strength, amen? You are going to have to say, I will not quit. I will not give up. I will win this battle, and I can win this battle because Christ has given me everything I need for the war. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There it is. Isn't that interesting? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Now, in case you didn't know it, heaven has a ranking army, but so does hell. And that's what that description of all those different spiritual forces are, is it is different rankings of demonic hordes. So I believe that there are forces that are over individuals. I believe that there are forces that have been over family generations. I believe there are forces that seek to bring lies over particular cities and regions. You know, you go to New Orleans around Mardi Gras time. Do you know they think a certain way down there that we don't think here? I didn't even know what Mardi Gras was for years. But I mean, you talk about a sin fest, and ironically, it's coming into the time of Easter. What about Las Vegas? Okay? Whether we know it or not, there are certain mindsets and attitudes that we have, even in Hastings, Michigan, that we're so familiar with, they seem so normal to us, we don't even realize they're strongholds in our thinking. Okay? So there's different forces, but let's take it back home. Let's take it personal now, because this is where we got to start for sure. Okay? So verse 13, therefore, in case we didn't get it the first time, Paul mentions it again. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Here it is. We're going to look at the pieces of armor. With a belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, truth. We think of a belt. We think of the Roman armor. The belt of the Roman soldier basically held all the different pieces of his military armor together. And so I really believe that's why Paul started with the belt of truth. Because every aspect of these pieces of armor are related to a specific truth related to how you are covered in Christ. So the belt of truth is that which holds all the other pieces of armor together in place, if that makes sense. All right? And then, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, righteousness. Okay? When you are born again, do you realize you are pulled out of sin and placed in Christ? Therefore, you have been made righteous in His sight. You are no longer under the condemnation of sin. You have been set free, because Romans 8:1 says, For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. It actually begins, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Notice, hide the word in your heart. I'm not saying that to go, wow, look at me. I just want you to see how important it is to have the word hidden in your heart. Okay? So therefore, in Christ, we have been made righteous. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is in our spirit. That is where you're born again, the spirit. Okay? Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born both of the water, natural, and the spirit, spiritual, correct? So when you are born again, your spirit is made righteous, and therefore it has been brought from death back to life. And if you don't know the, now I'm just telling you these truths, okay? So this is how you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You stand fast in the confidence that in Christ I am set free from sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer bound to the enemy's devices. I don't have to bow my knee to sin or Satan any longer. And that guards your heart, right? So in Christ, I am righteous. My heart is protected. I don't have to fear, because I'm a man of faith. That's where your faith resides, in your heart. Make sense? So the breastplate of righteousness, put it on this morning. Are you righteous in Christ? Stand firm with a breastplate of righteousness in place. Do not let the enemy tell you that you are not freed from sin, that you are not right before God. Now listen, we can still sin with our soul and our body, right? But because you are righteous in Christ, you can confess that sin and you can bring that back under who you already are in Christ. And so I honestly believe that's one of the ways that you put on the righteousness of Christ, is that if the Spirit of God begins to convict you that you have an attitude or an appetite that you've been giving into in your actions, which is flesh-related, 1 John 1:9 says, therefore, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Guess what? In your soul and your body, that which is inside of you that's already righteous, because you've confessed it, brings cleansing over that soulish thing that you've done, or that fleshly thing that you've done, and now you come back in under the righteousness of Christ. You want to put on the righteousness of Christ? Confess your sins before God, get back in order with Him, and you will have the breastplate of righteousness put in place. It's pretty scary. I could probably preach a sermon on each one of these. All right, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Okay? The gospel of peace is your salvation message, correct? So when you accept that, how many know that in Christ you have peace with God? And so it says to put on the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in the sense that the gospel is what showed you that you were in a war and you were on death's side, but now you have been brought on life's side. You were in the enemy's camp. Now you're in Christ's camp. And so you need to be always having your feet ready for battle. And you need to know that the Roman sandals had nails on the bottom of them, so that defensively, when there was an attack, they had these shields. We're going to talk about the shield of faith in a minute. But if there was a wave that come at them, they could stick their feet in the ground and they would not be moved. They would stand. They also become pretty good ways to get somebody's attention. Imagine stomping on somebody's foot with some nails on the bottom of your shoe. It's a good way of getting, you know, and then guess what? If they're focused on their feet, you can take them out another way. See, so they were also for the purpose of not only standing, but advancing. So the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. All right? So they put that on. Are you ready for battle? Are you looking for when the enemy is trying to attack you? When you hear thoughts in your mind that are sown in your direction and you realize that doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you ready? See, the Bible says, be alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Are you ready? Are you looking? Hey, when you go to work, when you're in your family, hey, how many of us have been caught off guard at times by an onslaught of the enemy's attack in the midst of a difficult situation? We didn't see it coming. Wham! And then we get into our flesh because we didn't have the gospel of peace. Notice peace. That means, guess what? You're not going to lose your temper either. How many of us, when we've been under pressure, lose our temper? We need to put on the gospel of peace and realize that the enemy is always looking for you to be looking away, because that's his tactics, to be hidden. He hides. He's sneaky. Okay? You need to be ready with the gospel of peace put on your... Now, again, do you understand these are all truth principles? You're putting on the truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, the truth of who you are in Christ. You're putting on the readiness, the sandals. It's the truth that you have been armed with the gospel of peace to take the gospel to the world. And don't let the enemy attack you so that you're going backwards and caught off guard. Be alert so that when he comes, you can shuck him off and you keep moving on. Amen? Oh. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. The Roman shield was about 4 foot by about 2.5 feet, I believe it was. It was a square thing. It was made of leather. They kept it wet because it says to extinguish, some translations say the fiery darts, some say the flaming arrows of the enemy. Those flaming arrows are those deceptive schemes that the enemy's throwing at you. We need to uphold the shield of faith that says, oh no, This is what God's word says. So when you come in with your scheme, you hold up your faith that says, I don't believe that, I believe this. And I'm not tolerating, I'm not accepting, I'm shucking that lie off. It ain't staying here. That's your faith. That's what your faith does. Don't ever let somebody tear down your faith in the Word of God. And the world is doing it every day. I mean, I can't even begin. We could spend it all day here just talking about the different ways the world's throwing the arrows at us, you know, allowing the enemy to use them to sow lies to us. That's what strongholds are made out of. Okay? Hold up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, okay? Taking the helmet of salvation, okay? The helmet of salvation is covering the mind. The breastplate of righteousness is covering the heart, right? So the enemy sows thoughts into your mind. But you've got to use both your faith and your helmet of salvation to say, wait a minute, I am saved in Jesus Christ. I am not dead, I am free. So when he comes in and tells you a lie in your head, you're going to go, uh-uh, I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm set free, I'm forgiven. I have the life of Christ on the inside of me. I'm not going to accept this lie. You see, all of these are defensive armor, except the readiness of the gospel of peace can have both a defensive and an offensive component to it. But then it says, here it is, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And how do you wield the sword? It says, and pray in the Spirit on, all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So whether you know it or not, that's partly what I was going to talk about today, originally, through the Holy Spirit. So you get that sermon next week. Okay? But listen, the Bible always talks about the Spirit and the Word. The Word and the Spirit. You can't separate the two. And there are churches that have tried to do this over the years. They're just Word churches. That Holy Spirit stuff, that was for the days of the apostles. Well, I got news for them. If you don't have the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost operating with that word, the enemy is going to laugh in your face. And that's why the church is powerless at times today. But then you got other churches that they're all Holy Ghost, and they're all about the signs and wonders and the Holy Ghost parties that we have. And yet, trust me, through faith, They can tap into the supernatural realm, because that's how you get there, is through faith, not through righteousness. Righteousness brings the Spirit into you. Faith is how you tap into the Spirit. Okay? I don't have time to teach you all of how that works, but nonetheless, okay? So what happens is people get into this faith realm. And sometimes they err even in the grace realm, that God covers everything. Not everybody believes that, but there are those that do. And they get off balance. And so when it comes to the Word, how are they going to walk in freedom? Listen, there have been supernatural revival meetings that have happened in groups, but because people have gotten so caught up in the manifestations rather than the manifestations following the believer, they've followed after the manifestations. And then in following after that, they've got caught up in it, and what happens is that people then get into sin, extramarital relationships, and because they've now entered sin and they have not applied the truth of God's word and maintained it in their situation, then what happens is the enemy comes in and he discredits what they're doing, and the revival ends up falling apart. Not because it really didn't have power associated with it, but because they didn't have both the Spirit and the Word operating together. Okay? So, for you, this is your take home. I'm just going to apply what we did last week. We need to have the Word of God hidden in our heart. We need to, this is one thing a pastor told me years ago. Why do you need to be in the Word of God? So you can get the Word of God in you. There's no other way to do it. And if you are struggling, which was mentioned, because that was the basis of the word that came forth this morning, was stronghold. If you're wrestling with some kind of system or thought pattern that says you're not loved by God, or you'll never measure up, or you're just a rotten old sinner and you're always going to be, or you don't have the authority to overcome the enemy, or you're just going to have to live poor your whole life. You don't realize I'm just throwing out various schemes of the enemy, whether you know it or not. But some of us think like that in some way, shape, or form. Amen? This is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning as we close. I believe He wants to illuminate and shine light into those hidden places this morning. That's why this word came forth. He wants to shine the light of His truth into those dark hidden places of deception and expose them this morning. And so let's just start playing something. Jason, you got something?
Whether you guys know it or not, we were actually supposed to sing a song this morning that because of the keyboard and stuff, it didn't work out. I think before we start doing that, and maybe as we're doing that, if people want to come up, I think we need to sing that Break Every Chain.
Okay, okay. You can play it by...
Yeah, we're set.
Okay, awesome. Yes, sir. Amen. And you need to understand the context of that. If you keep beating yourself up, that's exactly what the enemy wants. The not changing because you won't confront you won't change if you don't confront it, is you need to confront the stronghold. You need to confront the lie of the enemy, and it needs to be torn down. Now, this morning, all I know is this is what the Lord wants. I'm just teaching you on it. But this morning, for some reason, the Spirit of God has brought this up. I want you to ask your question. Just let's have everybody bow their heads, just kind of close their eyes, because I want you focusing on the Spirit right now. What lie? What system of lies, what way of thinking, what stronghold have you personally struggled with, or even recently been struggling with, that is not what God says about you or God says about your situation, but what the enemy has continued to hammer you with? I want you to identify that. I believe that the Spirit of God, if He's going to bring up this subject, I believe He wants to bring that to the forefront of your mind. I believe He wants to illuminate that to you this morning, because He wants to show you what He wants to set you free from. What is it that has kept you bound, that has kept you from going where God wants you to go, that has kept you from realizing who you really are as His child? And then what I want you to do is that as we sing this song this morning, and we sing Break Every Chain, Break Every Chain, Break Every Chain, I want you to take what you know of the Word of God that it says about that lie, And I want you to begin to sing the song, but in your spirit and in your heart, I want you to begin to take that spiritual battering ram of God's word and says, I will not believe this anymore. I do not accept this. I don't care what you feel. Your feelings are going to follow what you believe. And so far, the stronghold is what you believe. Today, make it the day you're not going to believe that any longer. But you're going to believe what God's word says. And to believe what God's word says, listen, put on the armor of God. Put on righteousness. You are righteous in Christ. Put on peace. Put on faith. Put on salvation. Put on truth. Put it on as you sing this song. And then take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, as we're doing this, we're going to sing this song. And then after the song's done, then let's put something else on. If you feel like you need ministry today to help you identify and come against that thing. How many know sometimes we need warriors? We need people that's got our back, and we need people at our side. I'm going to have Jason and Karen come up here. Dawn and I are going to be up here. We are going to be available to minister to those strongholds that you feel like the enemy has used against you. And we're going to agree with you that today is the day that the wall is coming down. And it may take you tomorrow, and it may take you the next day, but you have to make the decision today that that wall will no longer be erected in your thinking, but you're gonna tear it down with the word of God. Amen? Let's stand.